midday movie review of one of your favorites from the 80s. I think Wendy is a big fan.
She is a big fan.
I know Cooter is a big fan because that's what really got this conversation going. It is the 1986 film Running Scared, starring Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal. And I guess the latter was not very well known at the time. This was pre-Billy Crystal breakout.
Yeah, that's true. This is the movie that made me really dig Billy Crystal along with Saturday Night Live. The run and the stuff he did on Saturday Night Live,
that's
and then
true.
This was how I got to
know
him.
I guess
he
didn't have the box office appeal up until this
didn't,
point.
You're right. Hadn't, you know, City Slickers and some of that other stuff had not happened yet. When Harry Met Sally, I don't think it happened yet. And so, yeah, this would have been before that. I've always loved this movie. It's the year I turned 12. It had swearing. It had cops. A little bit of nudity. It was just all the right levels of things for a 12, 13-year-old kid. It does feel a little dated to me now. I'm interested to see what you thought of it since you had never seen it. But, yeah, it's one of those that I always go back to because it's unexpected. Like, the casting makes no sense. Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal as cops. Doesn't make any sense on its face, but something about their chemistry worked in the movie for me. I can still watch it to this day, and I'm still entertained.
Yeah, this movie was dated for me. I'm not even going to bury the lead here. I had a hard time with it. It's very formulaic in terms of the buddy cop thing and just the hijinks that they get into. It's got a lot of overacting, which I think is a staple of 1980s movies. Especially this genre, and Joey Pants is maybe the most glaring example of this. He plays the delinquent that they catch up with and arrest and kind of keep in contact with throughout the movie.
Right.
And unfortunately, there were just not enough of those moments, you know, trying to cut through all of that, that I found humorous enough to ultimately like this film.
So the interesting part, the only part of it that you might find interesting, because I figured that might be your reaction, is what people went on to become. This movie, not for the two main guys, but a lot of other guys in the movie. So Joe Pantoliano, who you just mentioned, ironically becomes the captain in the Bad Boys movies.
Yes, he does. He was also in Sopranos, obviously.
This is a young Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
As the villain, Julio Gonzalez, and he obviously goes on to be Jimmy Smits.
Mm-hmm.
But two other interesting ones that I didn't know this. So the two cops that first are undercover, spoiler alert, and then later on they have to train.
Yeah, the one guy was in Real Genius and a couple of other things.
Is that, that's Jonathan Grease, or is that Stephen Bauer?
I don't know. He's the guy who had the longer hair, I believe.
So that'd be Bauer, I think. So Stephen Bauer is Frank Sigliano in this movie, but he was in Scarface, and he was also in Breaking Bad. And I didn't recognize him.
Wait a second. What was the name?
He's Stephen Bauer. He is like a drug lord in Breaking Bad, and he's also, shock, involved in drugs in Scarface. But I never recognized him. He looks so much older in those roles to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
But Scarface would have been before this. Scarface is before 86.
Well, Scarface, he played Tony Montana's brother, correct? Or he played his right-hand man.
Yes, I think that's right.
Who ends
right.
up hooking up with Tony Montana's sister and gets killed as a result.
Correct.
So that's not the guy that I'm thinking of. It must be the other one who plays the genius and real genius that they're trying to get to.
Okay.
Who lives underground or whatever. And then he played roles in other films too.
So I think the other guy on that.
And actually Stephen Bauer was in that movie. Who was the actress that we spoke with during South by Southwest? She's just an absolute smoke show. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He played the dad in that movie.
Oh right. Yes, exactly. Itzo. Was her last name, right?
Yep, Lorenza Itzo.
Yes, you're right. I forgot that he was in that. Yeah, Bauer was. That's right. We asked her about Stephen Bauer, and I didn't realize he was in Running Scared. And then Jonathan Grease, the other guy you're talking about, who plays that other cop, he's Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, he is. You're right about that.
I never realized that part. So there's some other. Captain is Dan Hedaya, who did some stuff in the 80s, was on Cheers, and was on a couple other shows as well. So the cast is really interesting. Ends up kind of being a foundational cast. But, this is one of those movies where I think somebody says Uncle Rico is that guy from Real Genius. We're getting a lot of Uncle Rico texts in there. A lot of... Yeah, like you said, there's an 80s sort of formula cop movie thing to this, but I liked it because I was reading that like Gregory Hines liked the fact that it was a black cop and a white cop as a duo, but the black cop got the sex scenes. He was kind of excited about that part of it.
That's funny.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I always end up laughing, and the back and forth between the two is great. But when you just look at this as a movie on its face, when you just try to deconstruct it and put it back together and all whatever it was, and I rewatched it twice just to make sure, I could definitely see how someone would just not, it would not hit them right. It's a timing kind of thing. If you didn't see it in 1986. And it's a very different kind of thing because it is a little flimsy in some of its storytelling.
And I don't want to totally bury this movie. I would like to bring up some of the things that I really liked. And it does start with how many great on-site shots they filmed in and around Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously had the montage of all the different spots downtown at the beginning. I mean, you could tell immediately where this was being filmed, which obviously perks my ears up when it's showing a pretty specific shot along the Chicago River where you can see, I want to say it was the Wrigley Building, and there was something else there in that moment too.
Yeah, and that's what you could appreciate, because apparently the director at the time, the story was like nobody went to Chicago to film these movies.
No, I mean, that was when downtown was still really rough. Wicker Park was just a haven for drug addicts and prostitution, and then, you know, 20 years later, it is all of a sudden a hipster paradise. I also really liked the montage, and it doesn't get any more 80s than not only a montage, but a montage that includes people roller skating for physical activity's sake.
Man. Plus, if you know Gregory Hines was a professional dancer.
Yes, he was.
You know he's easily the best roller skater in that scene. He probably taught Billy Crystal how to do it.
No question, and Billy Crystal, I got to tell you, this is the first red flag for me when they had Billy Crystal, and I realized he was jumping in on pickup basketball game. They had him trying to play basketball, and it was ugly. Unfortunately, they had him miss a shot pretty soon after that. But it was like, oh, my goodness, Billy Crystal is clearly an actor and not an athlete.
He was a decent roller skater. Yeah.
Okay, roller skater.
He didn't fall down. I mean, that's kind of all you needed for that scene.
Wonder how many takes that took.
The Michael McDonald song kind of makes this whole movie in a way. If it's not in the middle of the movie, I'm not sure what you get out of it. But that Key West montage is great with them, the girls, the fishing. First he jumps, and then he jumps, and then just that whole thing. Gregory Hines is always so funny to me. He's like those big eyes of his, like his eyes always seem to bug out of his head.
Yeah.
But he's a better physical comedian, I think, than people gave him credit for. And just their back and forth is what sort of, you know, carried that movie for me. But I think what a ton of people remember for that movie is probably that song Sweet Freedom. And Michael McDonald got like a top 10, top 15 hit.
Good for him.
That thing was a monster in 86, 87.
This film really liked to utilize the really bad fake punch sound effect with an equally bad stunt being pulled off of one guy punching the other. And I'm guessing that's probably because they were having the actors doing the punching. It didn't look like they had stunt people in those scenes, but they weren't coming anywhere close to connecting. And it was that very video game sounding punch sound too, though.
Wow. Okay. never even noticed that about the movie. But again,
it was funny. And it happened a couple of times early, and I want to say it happened one time later on in the film. It's like, all right, guys.
That's so funny how much we forgive a movie when we're 12.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And that is why I'm not going to just crush this with my final grade. It's because I recognize that this film had its time and place. We're just so far beyond that now. It was like when Wags and BK asked me to watch Dude, Where's My Car a couple years ago for the very first time.
You weren't going to think that was The Godfather?
I'm not a teenager.
No.
I may have been stoned when I was watching it, but I'm not a stoned teenager watching this for the first time.
You weren't that stoned.
So there's no way in hell that I'm going to be able to appreciate this movie like you guys did as teenagers.
Yeah, that's fair. By the way, did you happen to see the Rotten Tomatoes score on this movie?
No, what was it?
I was shocked at how low it was. I understand this movie is not like an all-time legendary movie, but it's special to me. But 57%? Damn. Like not even just kind of failing, like really failing. Like they considered it a failure, 57%. I was a little sad about
when
that.
When you consider that it's a lot of generations younger than ours that are giving grades on Rotten Tomatoes, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. They're not going to look back at it the same way. All right, so we always do favorite scenes. Even though you didn't like the movie, what was your favorite scene of Running Scared? Is it the Key West montage?
Key West montage is good. My favorite scene, though, the first scene that made me laugh was the scene in the police station where the guy comes in looking for, I think it's the Billy Crystal character. Yeah. And then he's like, hey, buy me some time with this guy. And so he points him to where Gregory Hines had just gone into, and he went into the women's bathroom. So the guy comes back. He's like, I didn't see him in the men's bathroom. He's like, check the women's.
Yeah.
So he went back in there, bust in, and I forget the line that he said, but that was amusing. I really enjoyed that moment.
My favorite scene in Running Scared has always been the car scene where Billy Crystal makes the call and mm-hmm. does the funny voice, because we've showed it to my daughter now. So my daughter and I just randomly will say, you know, gotta go, Final Jeopardy on. Like, we always sort of re-hit those lines. So that scene in Julio's car with the big block 80s phone that used to be, because that was the cool thing to have that in your car if you had a badass, you know, Mercedes mm-hmm. back then. That's my favorite scene of the movie when he makes that call.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I think that's maybe part of the issue for me with this movie that I didn't realize until right now. I'm just not the biggest Billy Crystal fan.
Ah, well, like, that's got to help. I mean,
he doesn't strike the right comedic tone for me. And in this movie, I enjoyed the Hines character more than I did the Crystal character.
See, and that's where I like both of them. That would make a lot of sense if you don't like the movie. And if you're not into Billy Crystal, yeah, it's going to be tough. Because you got to dig those two guys interacting. If you only like one of them, it's going to be tougher. All right, so it was my pick. I'll throw my grade out. I am not giving it 57%. I'm going higher than that, and yes, this is my heart talking, but I'm going to crawl it into the A category with a 9.1. That's probably too high. I get it, but it's mine. I love it. The rewatchability, the requotability, and because, well, rest in peace, Gregory Hines. 9.1, Trey.
Yeah, he died way too early.
He did. I hated that he died.
Considering how great a shape he was in.
I love that man. One of my favorite actors of all time, and I hated it when he died. So I'm giving it a 9.1.
All right, so I said I'm not going to kill this movie with my final grades.
All right.
So with that in mind, I'm going with a solid 3.
Oh, come on, man. A 3? What'd you give Napoleon Dynamite?
A 5.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, Trey. I'm not asking you to love it. I'm not asking you to rewatch it. You're telling me you thought Napoleon Dynamite was a better movie than this?
I disliked this movie more than I disliked Napoleon Dynamite, Chad.
Oh, that hurts. That's painful. And Uncle Rico was in both of them, and he was so much better as Tony Montoya.
That's true. Now, see,
is that
I
his
like,
name? Tony?
I yes, liked
Tony
him.
Montoya.
I liked him. You know, that's good that you say that, because I liked him more in Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, my God. That hurts.
Neither movie did I find all that funny, but Napoleon Dynamite, I laughed harder at the one or two times that I laughed.
A 3. A 3. I can't believe I asked that. I should have left that alone. I really should have, because it made it worse. I asked the follow-up, and it made it worse.
All right, I'm bumping it up to a 5. It gets Napoleon Dynamite treatment.
Now it's tied with Napoleon Dynamite.
All right, 5.7. I'm giving it the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Come on! That's good. I'm glad I talked you into that one. I'd be a terrible lawyer, but at least I got that one done. All right, there's our movie review of Running Scared. It might be the last time Trey lets me pick a movie in this whole run.